up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too.
Next, we've got Peter. Pete, how's your evening going?
Hakuna Matata, everybody.
That is so cute. Where did you get that?
This is my daughter's Funko Pop.
That is real cute. That's real cute. I've never seen that before.
And you didn't in this movie either.
Right. I tried.
And last but certainly not least, welcome back, Steve. Steve, glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be back.
The Tooners are back together again.
Yay.
Guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share, especially if you're a Star Wars fan, because we're going to be going Andor for the next 4 weeks. So we're going to be hitting it hard. Kate, you can live with it.
I'm ready for it. I'm actually probably going to go back and rewatch the first season so that I'm ready. That's a total lie. I'm not going to
heavy load because I've been taking a couple of weeks. Yeah.
So, okay. This week we looked at Mufasa, which is a prequel to The Lion King. It was done in the, quote, live action style, where nothing is actually alive, but it's all on the computer. And it basically gave us the backstory of Mufasa and Scar and Zazu and Sarabi and Rafiki, and how Scar came to be known as Scar, and because he betrayed them to ghost lions or the White Riders or some, anyway.
Outsiders.
No, The Outsiders is a much, much better movie with a whole lot better cast. But so it's just, yeah, it's easy. There's not really much more to say than that. It's just, we come to find out that Scar and Mufasa are not blood brothers necessarily, but they are brothers by experience, for lack of a better term, because he's always wanted a brother. Anyway.
Okay, surface pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get ahead of us, Kate. Don't get ahead of us. So we're going to start this by going, was the story compelling? Was the story a story that was worth being told? And Pete, based on what we have gathered, I'm going to let you try and defend that.
Oh, no.
the reason you're saying that is I did enjoy, for the most part, this movie. I thought they made the story a little overly complicated. Unnecessarily, to be quite honest. But I did enjoy parts of it. I kind of liked how he was Scar's adopted brother, and Scar's father didn't accept him, but his mother did. Actually, I couldn't tell if that was Scar's mother, Taka's. Well, at least the movie didn't pretend that the fact that was Scar was a surprise, right? I mean, we pretty much knew it right up in the front. That part of the story I liked. I didn't think the very beginning with his actual parents and him being swept away in a flood was really necessary. Like, they could have just started with the second part. I thought having the outsider lions as the bad guys were good. I kind of actually liked Scar's turn because it was very Scar. And I also kind of liked how they like collected their little group as they went along, and that, you know, how Zazu came along and Rafiki came along. And, you know, we were picking on the movie, but like, you know, oh, it's how Rafiki got his stick. You know, I mean, a lot of stupid stuff like that, but I still enjoyed that stuff. So compelling is
that. How did Rafiki get his stick? I missed that.
During the stampede slash the elephant stampede, and he's the tree, and then the branch broke off.
Whack.
Yeah. Isn't that it? Wasn't that it?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I don't know how I missed that.
Yeah. So compelling, maybe too strong a word, but I did enjoy it. Yeah, Steve's audio was cutting out there.
Okay, it was just me. One, just me. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Steve's
rebuttal.
Yeah, what do you think, Steve?
No, it was not compelling. The core seed of it was a good idea, but I had a hard time staying focused during the movie, and it was sort of like watching the clock. I know we paused at one time so I could finish cooking dinner, and it was like, oh, I guess we need to go back to it to finish it. So,
yep.
I liked the idea, but it was a hard slog to get through.
So I didn't even like the idea. I'm sorry. If there is nothing, I did not like him not actually being his brother. Because let's face it, Lion King 1 is Hamlet. Mm-hmm. And this kind of blows that to bits. By him not being the brother, that kind of, you know, kills that villain's part of it. There was no need for them to argue over Sarabi.
Oh my God.
No. The whole story within a story, as far as it being a story they're telling the daughter because she's afraid of the thunderstorm. Are you kidding me?
That really? That I disliked immensely.
Timon and Pumbaa were less than useless. Even, I mean, now I can say that about most Seth Rogen stuff, but they were less than useless in this. I mean, it's just they were trying to be funny and they weren't at all. I'm sorry, Hakuna Mufasa. Seriously,
don't even get me started. So bad.
No, I was okay if they'd done it as bookends. Like, here's the start.
They kept and then
here's the end. But they kept interrupting the story with it, which was a terror, and it added nothing. No. None of those interruptions added anything. So okay. Yeah, I totally agree with that. That was, to me, the worst part of the movie was the
worst part of the movie is it was 2 hours long.
Was it?
Two hours long and 20 minutes worth of a story.
Okay.
You could have Kate, I know you've got more, but let's try and stick to the story.
No. So I am going to focus on what I did like, which was Zazu's storyline. Zazu's backstory, and I'm going to mess it up, but he is something about Sarabi, like, picked him to kind of be her guardian of some sort, but he was the very last of the king's guard and he's essentially useless, but he got picked, like Sarabi kind of chose Zazu, and there wasn't a time when Zazu was a central part of the story on the screen that I didn't enjoy. When Zazu flies back to make the snow fall so that they don't find their tracks, I was like, that's really smart. When Zazu was this actually made me chuckle out loud. When Zazu's picking a fight with the outsider lions, and then he's like, you don't know who you're messing with, or whatever, and he like takes his wings and it kind of goes like this, and that fit to me. That worked to me. Having that backstory made it make sense. Like, I was like, yes, this of, because I don't agree with literally anyone else's origin story in this movie except for Zazu and Sarabi. And we don't really dig into Sarabi's like backstory. We just dig into Zazu and Sarabi kind of come into the story together and how they kind of became that. To me, that was the thing that held this movie together. If it could be held together at all, it was Zazu. And his voice didn't sound right because none of the voices in
my mind.
Because it was not Rowan Atkinson and Nathan Lane and any of those.
Well, but it wasn't even John Oliver who did it in the first movie.
It wasn't.
Correct.
Which is what got me, because at least you know, Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen were the same as the first movie. You know.
What?
Okay, the live action. They were the live action Timon and Pumbaa.
Oh, I was about to say what?
No.
Okay, I understand now.
Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen did the voices of Timon and Pumbaa.
Got it.
In the CGI Lion King, and
I never saw
also
that.
In this movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So that is, I will leave it at that. Was what I liked.
Okay. Okay. Songs in this one. Songs were written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. And I'm going to start off by saying Lin-Manuel Miranda owes Tim Rice a massive apology. Because these, and I'm just going to go on, these are very possibly the worst Lin-Manuel Miranda songs I have ever heard.
I'll agree with that. And he, but everything else, to be fair though, almost everything else he's done is so good.
None of these worked. None of them worked.
I disagree with that.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wish I had a brother. As she learned, is Surface Pressure.
Yeah, it's.
Oh, that's the most Lin-Manuel Miranda song of the Lup Bunch, yeah, for sure.
It felt to me like Encanto was trying to do Lion King, is how it felt, instead of Lion King does Lion King. And I am a giant Lin-Manuel Miranda fan. I've been a Lin fan since before Hamilton. I was a Lin-Manuel Miranda fan when he did In the Heights. So I am a huge, I mean, in my opinion, he is the massive major composer of our generation. He is going to go into the history books as one of the best composers of all time.
But not this.
This did not work. And I'm very curious as to what songs you liked, Pete.
I liked
Bye Bye.
No, that was bad. That one was bad. I liked the first one, the Malele song, and I liked the We're Going on an Adventure song, whatever, like when they're
We're going on a lion hunt. That's, remember that book? Probably going on. Right, we're gonna. Yeah, it just every time.
It was always bear hunt for us. We're going on a bear hunt.
Yeah,
I have no idea what you're talking about. So,
seriously, wow. Okay,
don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
No,
I don't. But I like that song, and I think I liked the. I mean, here's the problem, right? They weren't the Lion Kings. The Lion King songs are fantastic. These were, in my opinion, these were fine. They weren't great. I would agree it's probably the worst thing that Lin-Manuel Miranda has done. But I went back and I listened to them today. And I was like, yeah, this, you know, it's catchy. It's all right. But I mean, it was better than the Moana songs by 10 times.
Moana 2,
yeah. Sorry.
And I would still disagree.
You don't think it was better than the Moana 2 songs?
Moana 2 was better.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Which is sad because the reason Lin-Manuel didn't do the music for Moana 2 is because he was working on Mufasa.
I don't know. I liked these songs better than Moana 2 and you know, were they great? No, but they were
There was no song that caught your attention and had you singing it as you walked out of the movie.
No.
They felt like Lion King knockoffs.
Yeah.
And you know, Derek,
knockoffs are the direct-to-video ones, and those have better songs in them.
But Derek,
I haven't seen those. So.
you said Lin-Manuel owes Tim Rice an apology. I think Disney owes Lin-Manuel an apology.
No,
he wasn't the right pick for this. Put him back on Moana 2. Get Elton John in here. Get Tim Rice back. Get Alan Menken. Is Alan Menken dead? No.
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 Get Phil Collins, for God's sake. It wasn't the right. It just wasn't the right fit. It was just not. And Pete, because Pete and I were talking Daredevil stuff earlier that we're going to talk later in the episode. And he even said to me, he said, "You didn't like any of the music." And I said, "I tried really hard until the villain song, when the villain was saying bye bye in complete seriousness." And I laughed out loud and got up and went to the bathroom. Yeah, didn't even bother pausing the movie.
That song was bad.
I knockoff. It was truly, that was, you know, instead of Be Prepared or any of those, he goes from bye bye to Be Prepared. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah.
So, Steve, anything to add?
I thought a lot of the songs all sounded alike.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was like one thing after another.
Well, Miranda, to be fair. A lot of his sounds similar.
But at least in Encanto, there's like at least some variation. These all like felt like the same, just different words. I did not like the songs.
That's fair. Now, if we didn't like the songs, let's talk visuals.
Let Pete go first.
So you've got Figaro, we've seen. Remember Aslan from Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe? Remember Thomas O'Malley from Aristocats? All of them looked better than the animals in this. You almost just couldn't watch it.
So have you guys seen the first CG live action line? I hate calling it live action because there's no live action.
I have seen clips of it. And I honestly thought these visuals were worse because they were darker, like visually darker.
Okay. So I can go. Okay. I don't like that these are CGI movies. I think that CGI works in a movie to enhance things, but I don't particularly care when they make an entire CGI movie, because the problem is your characters, like if you're going to have a bunch of animals as your characters, they have to be able to have expressions that connect to humans. I hope I'm explaining this right.
It does.
So when you watch when you watch the animated Lion King, the characters can have exaggerated expressions when Timon's eating a bug and Simba can go, you know, and you can do that with animation. When you try to make photorealistic lions, you know, it's a cat. It has no facial expressions. It's a cat. So you have to, like, you're trying to balance the line between cartooniness, which doesn't look real, and the real of the CGI. And I just think it doesn't work well together. And so that's what you get when you watch these movies. If you haven't seen the first movie, you're not used to that. So what I did like about the visuals on this is I liked the way it was shot and directed and the camera work. The way that the characters were is kind of what you get with trying to do semi-photorealistic CGI. We sat down to watch this movie with my mother-in-law, and like we're like 2 minutes in and we're telling her, "Oh yeah, this is all CGI." And she's like, I thought this was all real. And then we started joking with her about, like,
wow.
Yeah. They taught these lions to like dive down in the water and everything. And
to be fair, the lion, the name started with an S. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't Scar. It was, I don't think it was the white bad lion, the main one. It was one of the men lions that had the mane. There was certain spots that I was like, that actually looks pretty realistic. Like, there were certain things. But then you get to Timon and Pumbaa, and it's like, oh, or even Rafiki. And it's like, But this movie was doomed from the start for me. I don't like live action, and I don't like watching animals fight animals. This movie was not going to do well for
a cartoon.
Even, I mean, I even struggle in The Lion King when they're all actually like fighting each other. I don't care for it, but when it's a cartoon, it's not as bad. But like when the bees came down and started stinging all the elephants, I was like, oh no, the elephants. Like this movie was not going to do well for me because it's not a movie I would have sought out. It's not, I don't like live action remakes of anything, literally anything, and I don't like watching animals fight animals. So, Steve, do you have anything you want to?
What my other half brought up at one point, he goes, which lion is which? Because there were so many. And yeah. I had to go, oh, Scar is the scraggly looking lion, from what I can tell. So I think sometimes it was like, who am I looking at? I'm like, Pete, I hated the camera action. Like, I'm like tired of you swirling the camera around. Like, I get what you're trying to do, show me like the motion of the lion, but it's like, enough. Let's just focus in on a scene and give me the dialogue. So some of the like background, amazing animation when you realize, and it's all computer generated, but the animals just wear off. That's why Timon and Pumbaa were in the dark.
Well, I mean, and again, that was how they did Timon and Pumbaa in the first movie, right? So it's like,
I really want to defend this movie with you.
Like, you don't have to. I'm not saying I loved it. I guess what I'm saying is it is what it is. The first one made $1 billion, and at least they what?
And this did not.
Not.
It didn't, but it still made like $700 million.
Did you enjoy the first one, Pete?
Worldwide. Okay, so this is what's so hard. The Lion King is a fantastic, the original Lion King is a fantastic movie. The remake is a shot-for-shot remake of that movie. It's not nearly as good, but I don't know. I've never been able to rate it because if you rate it poorly, it means that the story sucks from the original Lion King because it's the exact same story.
I don't agree with that because
walls can take so much away.
Yeah, from the terrible movie. So lovable about Timon in the original. You nailed it earlier when you said that the animation when Timon eats a bug and Simba goes ah or whatever. Like there are things that make Rafiki so. Just lovable. And Gina in the background is saying, you know, the voice acting in the original was just so good. While it can be the same story, it's there's so much different. It's like trying to put a movie onto a stage, like there are very, very few
that work.
Yeah. Movies that either Broadway shows go to film or film goes to a Broadway stage and it doesn't work. Missouri coming out. Hello. I would venture to say Chicago, the movie, the musical, very, very good. Wicked, quite good. Hairspray, not as great.
I like Hairspray, the movie.
It was, yeah, that one's, I can't think of any other bad examples right now, but I made my point. I think there are things, like, can you imagine if they made Toy Story live action? It wouldn't be as lovable because...
No, it's, and I'm saying that it's not the live action, or again, I hate calling it live action, but the live action version of The Lion King is not as good as the animated version. I would never go back and watch the, we saw it in the theaters at that time. My daughter was enough into it and not as critical as she is now of these things. She really doesn't like these CGI movies. So she was in the room with me and like kind of picking on the movie the whole time. So I don't know, maybe I was like, my expectations were so low that I was okay with things in this movie that other people weren't.
That's fair.
But I, and maybe it was because it wasn't a remake and it was at least an original story.
Yeah.
Versus giving us, like, had they remade Lion King 2, which was a direct-to-video sequel, which, like, that was my fear, was, oh, now they're going to give us Lion King 2.
Lion King 1.5, the story told by Timon.
Okay, no. I love 1.5.
No, it's phenomenal. It's so funny.
Yes. No, 1.5, Lion King 1.5 is great. Lion King 2 is actually not bad, but it's not as good as the original. But as I said, I walked out of The Lion King and people asked me what I thought, and I was like, I don't know. It's the same movie, but it's not the same movie because, as you say, it's presented in a different way that's not as good. But is it bad? I don't like I don't know how I would feel about it had I never seen The Lion King. Like, I enjoyed some of the things I enjoyed about the first movie was going, because I'd seen it so many times. I was like, oh, this is exactly like literally the same shot, you know, as in that. And I enjoyed like recognizing those things. This movie didn't have that, but I don't know. I guess it's good we have differences of opinions. I didn't think, if you're a fan of The Lion King and you didn't mind the CGI version, this is not a bad way to waste 2 hours. That's my opinion. I'm not saying it was a great movie.
Right. He used a great term there. Waste.
Yeah. Well, I think you would argue it was a bad way to waste 2 hours.
Oh, it was a bad way to waste 30 minutes, but okay. I'm going to just go jump right into this one. Okay. And I think I know how well fit. Did Mufasa break the live action curse? Because so far, we have not really enjoyed hardly any of the live action adaptations, as it were, as is evidenced by the fact that we don't watch them on this show. Did this change your mind at all?
No.
Nope.
No.
No. Okay.
In fact, it reinforced why I don't watch live action.
I did like the Cinderella one, which was before we did these.
But the Cinderella was enough different. The Cinderella was really different.
It was it was somewhat different. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I also didn't watch that.
Okay.
Beauty and the Beast was okay. It wasn't great.
But it's probably the best of any of the adaptations.
Yeah.
I just feel like when you have movies that are so iconic and so classic, to try to remake them, in my opinion, it would be like if they tried to remake The Wizard of Oz, the movie The Wizard of Oz. Like, it was so iconic in its time, to remake it just wouldn't feel right. I don't know. I can't think of another.
Okay. I think that's part of the reason we all agreed when we watched it. Now, this was many, many moons ago. We all liked the original West Side Story better than the remake of the West Side Story.
Yeah.
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 Because and that was, while it wasn't quite a shot for shot, it was close.
It was scene for scene, for sure. It was not shot for shot, but
they rearranged a couple things. But other than that, yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay.
It's I'm going to defend remakes a little bit, in that there's a lot of people out there that will not go back and watch a movie from 1960. That's not defending this movie or The Lion King or anything like that. Animated is different, but I'm talking about remakes of like the remake of West Side Story. There are people that will not go back and watch that movie. So there's an argument for if a story is well told, making it for a modern audience. I'm not saying it was necessary or truly worked, though I didn't think the West Side Story movie was a bad version. But
okay, and to counterpoint that, I will go the Matthew Broderick Music Man versus the Robert Preston Music Man.
I've not seen either of them. I know, weird, right? I know, weird. I know, weird. I know. Leave it alone. I know. It's weird. I know.
No one in this room is afraid of going back and looking at 50-year-old movies, but there's a lot of people that do, that won't. Yeah.
1960 was 65 years ago.
Well, I know what I'm talking about.
I think a remake, a live remake of a live movie is different than doing a live action remake of an animated film. Like, I understand Pete's thing. Yeah.
I'm with you, Steve. I'm not trying to defend the animated ones. I for the most part hated them all. I did not particularly like the first Lion King. I did want to give this a chance because at least it was an original story and I was able to enjoy it even though none of you did. So I guess I'll leave it at that.
I have a question. I know that this is now only a Disney movie because it was bought by Fox, but did any of you ever watch the movie Anastasia?
Yes. Saw it in theaters. Yeah.
Okay. Because what I was about to say was, because Steve was totally right in your point you just made. But I feel like when you make a live action remake and it involves animals, that is when I check out. Like, I don't know. However, because then as you all were talking, I was like, okay, what is an animated film? Actually, wait, is this the question?
Are you going to watch the new Lilo and Stitch that's coming out?
No.
Not an animal. He's not a dog.
No, but that is another one that, like, so as we were talking just now, as you all were talking, I was like, okay, what is a movie that is mostly humans? Lilo and Stitch was a good example. I will not watch it. Is, okay, what about Anastasia? Because that is really Pooka, her dog, and Bartok, the bats, are the only, like, but even then, I'm like, no, I don't think I would, because the movie, there is something, I don't know. This is hard.
I don't think it's hard at all.
Well, again, I would agree with that, though, in that it's the live action, the mostly humans live action movies are, to me, a better choice to do than a movie like this, which is all animals.
Entirely animals.
Okay. You know, again, it's hard because, like, I hate talking animal movies.
Yep.
But I was as I said, I think I just went into this with the right mentality that I was able to enjoy it for what it was. This doesn't mean I'm going to give it a high rating or anything, but
if we're looking at mostly human ones, how about the Pete's Dragon remake?
I didn't see that, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I heard it was good.
I'm not.
And I'll be honest, Derek, I think the original is terrible. Do not like that movie. Is
the original, because I don't think I've seen either. I feel like I may have watched the original.
With Green Dragon with the pink scales.
Right. But was it entirely animation or was it Roger Rabbit, where it was both? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just the dragon was animated. Everything else was live action. And sometimes the dragon was invisible. So even he wasn't on screen sometimes.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm just going to go ahead and skip ahead. As we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 for this. This is for Mufasa, Kate.
I'm going to give it a 1. And the only reason it's getting a 1 is because of the Zazu storyline. That saved it. So, Pete, what do you think?
I'm going to be the outlier here, I'm sure. But I'm giving this a 3. I think if you're a fan of The Lion King, it's worth watching. I'm sorry, I enjoyed it.
Wow, I didn't think you were going to go that high.
I'm at the two. I mean, I've seen it. I did hate it, but I don't need to ever watch it again.
And I'm actually going to go with 0.5 just because.
I had a feeling that was coming.
Oh, he froze.
He froze.
Oh, no. I will say, because I asked, because I was telling my husband how much I didn't like this movie. And then he was like, what has been your lowest rating ever? So I text Derek and ask, and my lowest rating was a 0.5 for the live action Pinocchio.
Yeah, that was so terrible.
It does not surprise me. And like I said, if the Zazu storyline had not made me laugh out loud, and like even Rafiki was too sane. Rafiki was actually like sane. He needed to be more unhinged.
He was pretty nuts, I thought, but
he was nuts.
As I said, when Steve said this movie was 2 hours, I was surprised because it went by very quickly for me. So
I thought it felt more like Endgame, but you know.
Speaking of Marvel
and things that I did not watch, and I will say this is probably one of the first times I have not watched a Marvel series at all, and she kind of said it reinforced that I would have hated this.
Oh, the last episode was rough.
Okay, so Steve and I are going to drop down for just a bit and let you two chat.
Oh, Pete.
So we've been talking all day because Kate watched the last two episodes and I was at work and she was messaging me. And I think we both really liked this series. I mean, what was your opinion, yes, Kate?
Yeah, it was very good. It was very gory. And it proceeded to get more gory as the episodes went on. And I know we do spoilers. I'm not going to say this spoiler, but there is one specific very gory part with Fisk that took it too far for me.
In the last episode, there's one scene where he kills a guy that is on par with the stuff that was in the Netflix series that was
disgusting. It was like Game gross. Of Thrones level gore. Yeah. And at that, while I was ready for gore, I was not ready for that. And overall,
it's a very violent show. This is not a show. It is not a show for kids, unlike a lot of
this should be a
Marvel stuff.
At least this is a lot of cursing, not a lot of sex, but a lot of gore, a lot of cursing, a lot of just hate. I will say the gore in the last episode took me a little bit out of it. And you even kind of tried to warn me about it.
Yeah.
However, this entire season felt like a build up to season two. Cause
yes.
Only nothing really, really good happens except for one villain dying.
Right. They caught Muse, or the kid. Well, Muse died,
right?
And yeah, I mean, it was all a build up to that. There's a whole another season coming, and I mean, if this was it, it would not be a good end. It would leaves you on such a story. I guess it's kind of a cliffhanger, but it's almost more of a
cliffhanger adjacent
to be continued thing. Where, you know, it really sets up a battle between Fisk and Daredevil. I love the way, and going back and watching the original series, I love the way they play these two characters off as almost two sides of the same coin. Yeah. Fisk is a terrifying villain. Vincent D'Onofrio is fantastic.
There is no one else who could play this.
It is a little scenery chewing, sure, but he just plays it so he's so calm most of the time. And then when he goes unhinged, he's just so out of control. It's completely believable.
Yeah.
But it's a mostly realistic character too. Like, you can completely believe that this person would exist.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
special. Yes. And I will say, if you have watched the Netflix series of Daredevil, you see a lot of Fisk's origin.
Right.
And it really makes you sympathize or empathize with him.
I would say empathize. More than sympathize.
Yeah. But in my opinion, that is how you get such a good villain, is when you can empathize with them. And that is what makes Fisk, especially if you've seen the Netflix series, that is what makes him so brilliant, is that he is normally very calm. He's very soft-spoken. He, not soft-spoken, but like he keeps his like very monotone.
Right.
But then when he yells, that makes it so much more powerful. Now, my prediction, well, okay, if I was writing the show, what I would love to see happen is Vanessa Fisk, her become the big bad, who then wants to set out to kill Fisk, which she already tried to do once, right? That was when the guy walked into the bar and then the...
No, she set him up. She told Wilson that he was coming.
That's
why Wilson had...
I missed that. Over my head, because I thought she sent that guy there to kill Fisk, and Fisk knew something was going to happen, had the other guy kill him, and then said, ask Vanessa if she wants me to bring this back, to be like, you didn't kill me. That went over my head.
No, in the end, it turned, like, the next episode, there's something that's said that indicates gave him the heads up that that was coming.
Well, dang, that takes my whole theory out of the wall.
Yeah. Because
I was hoping that Vanessa would be like, I need to get rid of my husband so that I can run the joint. And Fisk would be like, oh, no, I love Vanessa, but I can't let her take over everything.
Vanessa.
And so him and Matt Murdock would team up against Vanessa, is what I was, because I would love to see Matt Murdock and Wilson Fisk team up at some point and like have like a.
Well, and the same thing. I mean, she basically everything Vanessa did in the series was like showing her loyalty, because like she had a lover while Fisk was away. His name was Adam, which we don't really find anything about, but like Fisk promised to her that he wouldn't kill him. So instead, he put him in a jail cell and beat the crap out of him a lot. And then, like, he finally, like, showed, he said, here he is. I said I wouldn't kill him, but I got him here. And then she kills him.
Yeah.
And, you know, so to me, a lot of what was going on in this season was her returning to. Like she was uncertain at the start, but her returning to being in love with him and everything like that. And I think that's, you know, that's what we saw, but a very well done season. I thought I was concerned without Foggy and Karen in here that those two characters were always kind of the heart of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
That without them, it's just like Matt by himself.
Yeah.
That it wouldn't work as well, but it still worked.
I do think there were a lot of breadcrumbs that I missed, which is not surprising because I tend to like how I missed Rafiki getting his stick. I don't always catch everything the first time I watch it. So I do think there's some breadcrumbs that I missed, but it wasn't as in your face as other shows that I've watched that it's like, oh my God, it tells you everything. And I just didn't pick it up on it. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the next season. I will definitely watch it. So
if you're doing pixie dust for this, what would you give this?
Probably a 4. That gore in the last episode really shook me. There was a lot. And sometimes I feel like they add cursing into shows for shock value, and I don't think it's needed in this show, and I feel like they did it a lot in this show.
See, I was thinking, at least early on in the series, there wasn't actually very much at all. But the last couple episodes, there was
that. Yeah. It proceeded to get darker, more violent, and more cursing. Yeah. And it's just not, I don't need you to yell the F word at me to make a point. Be more creative than that. Be more creative in your writing than that. It's just, it's kind of like Wilson Fisk, where he doesn't have to yell the whole time. One well-placed yell from Wilson Fisk, great. One well-placed curse word can do have more of an effect. So, yeah.
But I'm with you. I would give this season a 4. I don't know if it's the best season. If you go back and watch, I haven't gone through season 3 yet, so I don't know season 3. It was definitely better than season 2.
I can't give it can't give it higher because you do lose something by losing Foggy and Karen. And it doesn't matter who they bring in to be his little sidekicks. I cannot give it more a higher rating than I would rate when Karen and Foggy are in it higher than when they're not. So anyway, there you go, boys.
All right. Yeah, definitely not something. But Kate, I will say I have not seen this, but I will completely agree with you on the overuse of cursing just to make it seem mature or to make it seem
miss me with that.
I'm done.
Be more creative. Be more creative. Okay. Do better writing.
It's like as you said, like as a teacher, if I yell at my kids every day, it has no effect on them by about the third week. I get upset with them once or twice a year, they know they've screwed up.
Yeah.
So. Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Oh, man, I was so into Daredevil that let's see here. All right, first up, the next Star Wars animated series on Disney Plus will be Maul, Shadow Lord in 2026. It is expected to follow the rise and fall of Maul's criminal enterprise away from the eyes of the Empire. Now, hang on, and I'm going to defer to all of my Star Wars, including you, Gina.
I'll put Gina up on this one.
Yeah, Gina, I thought that either Rebels or Clone War had Maul, was like Maul's story.
It's just a slight story. So we need to see his underbelly-ness when he leaves.
Like within the Solo time frame.
Probably.
Yeah. I think this is the beginning of that, whatever that's at the end of Solo. They had that one scene. I think this will be continuation of that. Yeah.
Doesn't he finally get killed? He gets killed in Rebels. By Obi-Wan, actually.
Right. But so, during that Solo time,
he's before that. But,
okay.
Yeah. Gina, are you looking forward to this?
I am. I really am because I love Darth Maul's story. I do love Darth Maul's story from
Clone Wars. It is supposed to be the same voice actor that has done him so far. Great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Great.
Is it going to... What will we need to watch to be ready?
No. We won't watch this.
So you can watch Solo. I mean, Solo, just that last scene. And then if you already watched Clone Wars, you know that he's
You haven't. So anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, keep Gina up because Ahsoka season 2 has begun shooting and will have 8 episodes.
Yay. And my friend Warren. Those of us that like that.
Warren's in it again. Cool. Mm-hmm. So was he in Andor?
Yes. He's like Stormtrooper number 6. You know, he's got that kind of role.
Does that film's in California? Yeah.
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 Yeah. He's in all of these. He's Stormtrooper number 6, Sand Person number 4. He's always
cash that check, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Still cash that check. And last but not least, I'm not going to lie, I am a little bit excited for this. The Simpsons, which I'm not usually a Simpsons fan, but this I actually will watch, have released a full-length episode, which is a spoof of National Geographic documentaries. The Earth Day episode is exclusive to Disney Plus. I may go watch this and report back next week.
I will say I was watching this before we got on here and started taping, and I'm actually going to go back and finish it. I mean, it's got some cute points. It's got some stuff that's really predictable. But
is it up there with the Halloween episodes? I do enjoy all the Halloween episodes.
Okay. I don't like the Treehouse of Horror ones. So, no, this is truly a spoof episode.
Okay.
Am I the only one on here that's not a huge Simpsons fan?
I don't like Simpsons.
I'm not a huge fan. I just like
this. Very, very few episodes.
Oh, okay.
So I loved the show for the first
10 years.
10 years, yeah.
And then I probably stopped watching around. I kept watching for a while after it had already gone downhill, and probably stopped around season 18 or so. So I was a big fan, and I can honestly say I haven't watched an episode in probably 15 years. So
I'm of the age where I was not allowed to watch The Simpsons
because you were young. You were like in fifth grade.
Uh huh. And yeah.
I was in college when
I was in high school. Yeah. I was a junior in high school.
Yeah. I don't know what
year. I was in elementary school.
91.
Oh, okay. I was 3.
Yeah.
But I wasn't allowed to watch Beavis and Butthead. That was what I was.
Oh, yeah.
I was old enough that I didn't get in trouble for wearing my don't have a cow shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it.
What about you, Steve? Did you have a don't have a cow shirt?
I did not have don't have a cow shirt.
Well, and the early ones are so different than starting about season 5.
Yeah.
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 So anyway. Okay. Next week, as I have said before, we are going into Andor season 2. Yeah, Kate, I know it's like, kind of like how I, although, no, I will say, for the original season,
I'm excited.
3.5.
Yeah, I ranked it high.
It was 3.
Yeah.
Pete gave it a 4. Steve gave it a 4.5.
Yeah.
So this is something, and part of the reason we're diving deep into this, it's something we all liked the first time around. So now, and it's going to be a haul because there's 3 episodes coming out 4 weeks in a row. No, but that's the thing basically as watching a movie every week.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So we watch 3 episodes every week?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
Starting
Are
today.
They all 45 minutes long?
Yeah, ish.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, at least they were in the first, like, I've been rewatching the first season and they're all about 45, 50 minutes. So,
yeah.
So
I have high hopes.
Me too. I love the Empire. So evil.
Okay. As we are sitting here, they have come out. First 3 episodes have come out. Looking at the time frame, 54, 47, 56.
Huh. Woo, so 3 hours. Baby.
I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
What Marvel hours. Movie every week.
Oh my gosh.
3 hours.
Yeah. Now there's like 8 minutes of credits in each of those. So
yeah.
And you don't need to watch those because they're unlike Marvel, there's no Easter egg. So just
right, yeah.
You don't worry about that.
Okay. But yeah, so that's what we're doing the next 4 weeks. If Pete, you had kind of said that if we only had time to go back and watch a couple episodes, probably 10, which is the prison break, and 12, which is the funeral / uprising.
Yeah.
Jetta?
I agree.
Yes.
Ferrix.
Yes.
What was Jetta?
Jetta was the planet.
Jetta was the planet where the plans were held.
Yeah.
Well, her dad helped with the plans. Yeah. Okay.
Well, no, Jetta was where they were mining all the Kyber crystals in Rogue One.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's the one I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Guys, if you have any suggestions for what we should watch after Andor, please email us at plusfortune@gmail.com. Message us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'd love to hear from you guys. If there's stuff you like us, how we've done stuff, if there's stuff, hey, I can't believe you guys did this, you need to stop right now, let us know, because we know we like to listen to you guys. We have new episodes coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Gina, Pete, and Steve, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @plusplatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.